Good morning. So our passage this morning is from Luke chapter 18. So if you'd like to find Luke 18, the copy of the scriptures, I think it'll be up here too. I'll be reading from the ESV translation. This is Luke 18, verses 35 through 43. Before I begin reading, I want to say it's good to see you again. Thanks for having me back. And I want to acknowledge that all of us are coming into today, coming from different places, from different life experiences. We have different challenges, experiences, joys. We have different plans and hopes and worries. And so being here today, whether this is whether you've just heard the name of Jesus for the first time recently, or whether you've been walking with Jesus for many decades, Jesus says to you, welcome. And so, as a servant of Jesus, I welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus invites you to bring your whole self, and so bring your sin, bring your brokenness, bring your worries. Bring your joys, bring your honor, and bring your emotions as we come to this text this morning. This is the word of God from Luke 18, verses 35 through 43. As he drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and we thank you for your work in this world. Father, we ask that by your Spirit, you will give us understanding of this passage and use it to draw us near to yourself. That in your work, that you will grow our faith, that you will increase our confidence in Christ, that you will grow our love for you and for others, that you will produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives so that you will be praised, that your honor will be revealed. And Father, now as we look at this passage, we ask that you will search us, O God, and that you will know our hearts. Try us and know our thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So about 7-8 years ago, there was a YouTube video that popped up. And it shows this man with this, like, long hair, scraggly beard. He's in sweatpants, sweatshirt, and he shows up in this plaza in Madrid, Spain. And he puts his stuff down, and he has with him a soccer ball, right? And so he's just there, and he starts to juggle. He's juggling this ball. And as you're watching this video, and I'm sure the people around, as they see him with this ball, they're like, wow, this guy has really good touch. He's just doing his thing. And he tries to get some people involved, right? He tries to kick it to them, and most of the people are like, whoa, 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 nope. And they just kind of let the ball go by, and so he runs over and he gets it, and then he kicks it to a few other people, and they start to kick it back to him. And then, you know, people start to get more involved. They start to play more, you know. He's kind of dribbling around, and, like, there's these kids and adults. They try to take the ball away from him. And eventually, you see this man, this long hair, this big beard, sweatpants. He starts passing the ball with this little boy. And after a few minutes, he picks the ball up. And for some reason, he brings out a Sharpie. And he starts to sign this ball. And everybody's like, that's kind of strange. And after signing this ball, you see him start to pull off this beard. And he's pulling off this hair. And then everybody in the plaza starts to be like, oh, we know who this is. This is Ronaldo, who is probably one of the two or three best footballers of the past generation, right? And he's just here in this plaza in Madrid playing. And once he starts pulling this off, people start to recognize him. That's when the crowd gathers around. That's when the phones come out. It wasn't when he was looking all scraggly and sweatpants. No. People just thought he was like some fun guy who's kicking a ball in the plaza. But once they recognize this Ronaldo, that's when the crowd gathers. That's, you know, you see people on the phones. They're all taking the pictures. They're asking for autographs. And so Ronaldo hands the ball to this boy and walks off. And the crowd's going crazy. And even though the people in the plaza recognize that this man, wow, he has really good touch, until they actually recognized him as Ronaldo, they're like, eh, whatever. But once they recognized him, they responded differently to him. Once they recognized that it was Ronaldo, they responded differently to him. And so just like in that video, when people start to recognize who Jesus is in this passage, they start to respond differently, right? When we recognize who Jesus is, we begin to respond differently. So a little background. This is Luke 18, and in today's passage, like right before this passage, Jesus foretold his death. He told his disciples for the third time that he is on his way to Jerusalem. Why is he on his way to Jerusalem? To die. He is on his way to Jerusalem to die. And he just told his disciples this for the third time. And so he was nearing Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. And to show honor, people from Jericho left the city walls and went outside the city walls to welcome in who they thought was a great teacher, a mighty prophet. And so they left the walls and they went out to greet him. And this was a very culturally common thing to do. Somebody who's very famous, very powerful, go out, greet him, welcome him to your town. They would have been planning on a big feast in Jericho. And so they go out to greet him. And so there's this crowd, they're creating noise, and then the blind man, who sits along the side of the road asking for people for money, he hears this commotion. In Mark's gospel, he calls this man Bartimaeus. He was blind. He begged for money. And Bartimaeus, as a blind man at this time, he had a place in society. People understood that because of his blindness, he could not work in most other ways. And so he asked people for money. He asked for alms. And a lot of people in society, they thought of almsgiving as a way to show honor to God, right? But by being blind, being along the side of the road, Bartimaeus is also there, and he also serves as a reminder that the world is not as it should be, and that people need to respond generously to care for others, to care for those around them. So Bartimaeus is there, and he hears the crowd going by. It's quite a commotion. And he inquired, he asked, hey, what's going on? And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And so based on what the crowd tells Bartimaeus, it's up for Bartimaeus to determine what to do with Jesus of Nazareth, right? Oh, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And so now we kind of make this jump that apparently Bartimaeus has already heard about Jesus of Nazareth because he calls out. And what does he say? He says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." So it's not just like, "Hey, Jesus of Nazareth, give me some money." It's, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And this is where you gotta love the crowd, right? The crowd comes up, and what do? They say, "Hey, let us bring you to Jesus." Nope, that's not what's going on here. It says, "And those who were in front rebuked him." They rebuked the blind man for calling out to Jesus, telling him to be silent. The people in the crowd didn't want Bartimaeus calling out to Jesus. And they wanted him to be quiet. And so, like, maybe there's a couple things going on here. One of the things could be this. It could be that Jesus is teaching as he's walking along, right? So he's walking along, he's teaching. And like, "Hey, Bartimaeus, with you yelling, I can't hear Jesus." So maybe the crowd is trying to listen to Jesus. What I think is actually more likely is this. There's a blind man along the side of the road. This crowd has gone out to honor Jesus. And by yelling, screaming, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me," the crowd is afraid that they are going to, that this man is going to bring shame upon Jericho and the people there. They don't want him screaming out, disrupting Jesus, because they're afraid that doing so is going to bring shame upon their town. And so, trying to silence Bartimaeus, the crowd is actually oppressing him, right? They're trying to silence his voice. They're trying to keep, they may not intentionally be trying to keep him from mercy, intentionally keeping him from help, but that's what they're doing, right? Instead of trying to keep Bartimaeus quiet, they should have helped bring Bartimaeus near to Jesus. And so one of the things that we just need to think about as we go about our lives, are there ways that either intentionally or unintentionally, we actually push people farther away from Jesus? Are there ways that we actually intentionally or unintentionally push people away from help? But Bartimaeus, he had some resolve. He had some courage. He was bold. And so he's not silent. Bartimaeus calls out, it says he calls out all the more, right? "Son of David, have mercy on me." I think of Bartimaeus, he's like upping the volume here. He's like, "Hey, if Jesus didn't hear me the first time, I'm going to call out more." So he calls out. And what do we see in verse 40 here? It says, "Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him." Jesus doesn't rebuke Bartimaeus for calling out for help. Jesus stops. He hears Bartimaeus. He stops and he has Bartimaeus brought near. Jesus, although he was on his way to Jerusalem for a very important appointment, Jesus wasn't too busy. Jesus took the time to stop and talk with Bartimaeus. And I want to remind you that Jesus is never too busy for you. You know, there's times in which there's people in our lives, we're running around, and sometimes we're like, "Hey, I can't bother this person with my trouble because they are too busy." Jesus is not like that. Jesus is never too busy for you. And in fact, he wants you to bring to him your struggles and your joys, your challenges and your victories. Bring them to Jesus because he is never too busy for you. Jesus commanded Bartimaeus be brought near. And then, what's this, verse 41. Jesus asked this question. He says, "What do you want me to do for you?" This is an important question because, remember, Bartimaeus' job, effectively, is to sit out by the road and to ask people for alms, to ask people for money. And so, Bartimaeus was crying for mercy. In his cry for mercy, what was he asking for? Was he asking for money? Was he asking for alms? Or was he asking for something more? And that's what Jesus is asking. He's like, "Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you?" And then Bartimaeus responds with this: "Lord, let me recover my sight." This is a giant request, right? You don't just like walk along and say, "Hey, I want $25 million, right? Blind people can't just like walk along and say, "Hey, restore my sight," and expect this person to restore their sight, right? That just doesn't happen. And this is also a big answer here, a big ask here, because if Jesus restores Bartimaeus' sight, what happens? He's out of a job. A man who can see can't just sit along the side of the road and beg. Why would people give to a man who can see? Bartimaeus is going to have to find a new job if he gets his sight restored. So he's going to have to find a new living. And the other thing is this. The way Bartimaeus answers this question tells us what Bartimaeus thinks about Jesus. Who does Bartimaeus think Jesus is that he can say, "Son of David, have mercy on me," and expect to receive his sight? And this might be even more surprising to the crowd that was nearby. Jesus said, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And Bartimaeus immediately received a sight back. Can you imagine what this looks like to the crowd? This is the man that I pass every so often, maybe daily, maybe once a week. This is the blind man, and now all of a sudden he can see? What happened here? This is a miracle. This doesn't happen every day. Bartimaeus immediately received his sight. He immediately recovered his sight, this is verse 43, and followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise to God too. Bartimaeus came with a big request. Jesus granted that request. And then Bartimaeus follows Jesus, praising God. And then so does everybody else that's around too. Because this was a miracle. This isn't the way things normally happen. This was a miracle. In spite of the crowd's noise and the crowd trying to silence Bartimaeus, Jesus heard Bartimaeus and he helped him. In the same way, Jesus hears you. When you pray, Jesus hears you. In the midst of life's challenges and hardships, even when it feels like you can't pray because it's so hard, when you don't feel like you have the energy to pray, or even dare to cry out to Jesus, Jesus hears you, and he is full of mercy. And that mercy isn't just for somebody else. It's for you too. Jesus hearing and stopping to restore Bartimaeus' sight is good news for us, because it shows that Jesus is good and compassionate and merciful and powerful. And it is further confirmation of who Jesus is and what he came to do. Remember when Bartimaeus was crying out to Jesus, what did he say? He said, "Son of David, have mercy upon me." Bartimaeus recognized that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the anointed one who was coming to bring the kingdom of God. And through this miracle, Jesus is not only showing his own power and his own mercy, but he's also showing what the kingdom of God is like. Where sadness and injuries and sin are done away with. You may remember from 2 Samuel chapter 7 that God promised David a descendant who would sit upon his throne forever. A descendant of David. A son of David who would sit upon the throne forever. Bartimaeus recognized Jesus as the son of David, as the Messiah who would sit on the throne forever. I mentioned this briefly before. This is also in Luke chapter 18. In verses 31 through 34 and 33, Jesus tells his disciples, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise." Bartimaeus called Jesus the son of David, pointing that he is the Messiah. Right before this and telling his disciples that he was going to die, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. Does Jesus have a different identity from who Bartimaeus recognizes him as? Is there some confusion here? No. That's the quick answer. No. The Son of Man, right? There's a couple ways that this can be thought of. One, it could be Son of Man, just a human. And we know from Scripture that Jesus is the fullest human, right? In Ezekiel, when God talks with Ezekiel, he calls him Son of Man, calling him a prophet. And yet Jesus is also a prophet. So Jesus is the fullest human. He is a prophet. But then we also get this from Daniel's vision in chapter 7 of Daniel. And it says this, "And behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed." If you've ever read through the book of Revelation, that also sounds a lot like the book of Revelation, right? Where you see Jesus on the throne. Jesus identifies himself as the Son of Man. He is the one who will receive a kingdom from God, dominion and glory, so that all people, nations, and languages will serve him. And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, so that all that is written of him may be accomplished. Jesus needed to go to Jerusalem for these things to be accomplished because he was going to Jerusalem to die. He was going to Jerusalem to offer himself as a sacrifice to make atonement for sin. Because that's where the temple was. That's where the altar was, where the sacrifices were made to atone for all God's people. When Jesus healed Bartimaeus, he wasn't just healing a blind man, which is pretty awesome all by itself, right? But that's not all that he was doing. Jesus was performing a miraculous sign. It's a miracle that points to something greater. In Isaiah 29 and Isaiah 35, which was read for us earlier today, we hear of the blind being able to see as a sign of God's great redemption and the coming of his kingdom. And this passage gives glimpses of the salvation of God's Messiah that he would bring with the kingdom. Right? The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. Throughout the Gospels, that's what we see happening. Jesus performs miracles where people who can't hear can suddenly hear, where blind people receive their sight back, where lame people suddenly pick up their mats and walk home. They jump up and walk home. That's what we see, because that is what Jesus is coming to do, is bringing this glorious kingdom in which he is the king forever. But we also see from the book of Isaiah, especially Isaiah 53, that our healing is connected to the suffering of God's chosen servant, his anointed one. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Jesus is God's chosen one. He redeems and he saves. And he saves his people from every nation and language, because he is the king. That is Jesus. He is our king. In verse 42, Jesus says, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And Bartimaeus immediately received his sight. But what about this? Your faith has made you well? What's going on there? Jesus recognizes that Bartimaeus trusts him, believes in him, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the promised one. And this phrase, "your faith has made you well," it can also be translated like this: your faith has saved you. And I think the way that this was written, it's actually meant to be both. Your faith has made you well, and your faith has saved you. Now, Bartimaeus is not saved on the basis of his faith. He is saved because of Christ. But that faith is the thing that connects him to Jesus. And Bartimaeus gets his sight back. But more than that, he is a changed man. And he follows Jesus, praising God. Bartimaeus demonstrated his faith by calling out to Jesus. He demonstrated his faith by following Jesus and by glorifying God. Jesus didn't just leave Bartimaeus by the side of the road, did he? He heard Bartimaeus, and he hears us too. This morning, Jesus is calling all of us to trust him. Trust Jesus that he cares for you, that he loves you. Trust him with your sin and with your brokenness. It's not too much for Jesus. He can take it. And he has. He laid down his life to take your sin. Trust Jesus that he is the way to peace with God and everlasting life. And trust him with your life to follow him. So whether you've been following Jesus, again, for decades, as I know many of you have been, and then there's some of you that you might be like, I'm not sure what to do with Jesus. I'm not sure what I think about Jesus. For all of us, Jesus is saying, today, trust me. And he says to you, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In Jesus, you will find rest for your souls. as you consider what it means to trust Jesus, to follow Jesus, Jesus encourages us to remember what it may cost us to follow Jesus, right? Following Jesus may cost us money, right? It may cost us our health. Following Jesus may cause us to lose professional opportunities. Because when Jesus becomes the center of your life and when you follow him, your priorities and your plans, they're different, right? They're not the same as they were before. Some of you have experienced this. When you start following Jesus, or because you're seeking to follow Jesus in a particular area, maybe it costs us relationships with friends and family. And especially for our brothers and sisters who are in places where following Jesus is particularly dangerous, it may cost our brothers and sisters their lives, right? We may be put in a place where it costs us our life. But again, from Luke 18, Jesus also said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come, eternal life." And what is our hope of eternal life? That we are in the presence of God. God is our reward. Right at the end of Revelation, this is something I keep coming back to because it is amazing. At the end of Revelation, God's talking about the New Jerusalem coming out of heaven, going to be on earth. He's like, hey, and there won't be any more sun or moon. We won't need those. Because God is our light. Because he is there dwelling with his people. When God tells us, like, hey, this is what you have to look forward to. What is the treasure? What is the reward? It is God. God gives himself as our reward. Being in God's presence is so wonderful, so awesome, that we don't really have the language to talk about it. But that's what we're promised, that we will be in the presence of God. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that Bartimaeus recognized that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the promised one who brings the kingdom. He is the one who lays down his life for his people, that being redeemed, that we may know you, may come into your presence, and may have joy forevermore because we are with you. Thank you that you are our God and that you have made us your people. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your kindness. And thank you for your mercy. We ask that today that you will help us to follow you, trusting Jesus, knowing that he is more glorious and more wonderful than we can even describe. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.